thank you so much, Bernice. I'm really honored to be here. I told Bernice that I subscribe to the CCB list, so I monitor what you all are doing all year round, and it's very, very impressive. So I was happy that I was happening to be out here for another project and could sort of build this into my trip to California. So thank you, Bernice. What about that renovation next door? Maybe we can all pretend we can describe what's going on the other side of that wall. A gentleman just got there to close the door. Okay, so Bernice has asked me to talk about some of the things that that we were sharing with folks at the National Convention, and then I know that a lot of people in this room have larger questions about DBS video and where that's going next. And we also have a good deal of research and development projects that are underway back in Boston that I think you all are going to be very happy and excited to hear about. I thought I would just start very briefly, because I know this is a very savvy group of consumers, to explain who we are exactly. You may know us as DBS, but we're actually a division of WGBH in Boston, which is public broadcasting in Boston. We produce over a third of the programming for PBS stations nationwide, and also a third of the web content on pbs.org. We brought description to television after it was ably being done in Washington, D.C. by Margaret and Cody Fansteel. I always like to talk about them because they are the true pioneers in this service. They developed description for live plays in Washington, D.C. And when the advent of stereo television came along in the late 80s, we wondered how we could build on what we were already doing in terms of closed captioning for television audiences who were deaf or hard of hearing. How to make a service for people who were blind, visually impaired, maybe let them enjoy TV a little bit more. So we came up with the description for TV, basically carefully crafted, written narration of key visual elements, and we then have professional narrators who insert those descriptions into natural pauses in dialogue. It started on PBS. It grew to DBS Home Video, which we had for many, many years. It spread on to Turner Classic Movies, where they have over 200 classic movies that are described. And now we are proud to offer descriptions for four CBS series, for The Simpsons every week on Fox.
Your description, The Simpsons.
Some people love it. I guess everybody has a very strong opinion, which is good. And so we're very proud of that. Some of you might also know that there was a description mandate in place for a short, glorious piece of time we refer to as Camelot about 4 years ago. Yeah, one brief shining moment. And at that point, networks, the top, obviously the broadcast networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox, were required to have about 4 hours of description per week on broadcast TV. And the top five cable networks, based on their popularity, were also required to have description. They all fought it in court, unfortunately, and they said they would do it voluntarily, and they didn't want to be forced to do it. And among them, only CBS continues to offer that same level of description every week voluntarily. Yes. Well, right. And also Fox continues to do The Simpsons. So that's sort of what brings us to where we are now. Bernice asked me to talk a little bit about the survey we conducted at the Louisville conference. That was actually based on a 3-year project to make in-flight entertainment accessible. So we all fly around, and increasingly we're all going to have individual entertainment systems on the seatbacks in front of us. And as they stand now, they're all based on touchscreen technology, completely inaccessible, as well as the content, the movies, the TV shows, the in-flight information is all inaccessible. So we basically came up with a prototype system based on Panasonic technology, very popular and in use by a lot of airlines, and we actually made spoken menus and a navigation device based on Trace Center's easy access device. A certain number of buttons on a device that can be plugged into your seat armrest, and allows you to navigate around an in-flight entertainment system by yourself.
right.
Yeah. So we tested that with over 80 consumers in a booth at ACB this year. People were very excited. We actually had people from Panasonic there to view the user testing. And what we came away with, let me just move down here. What we came away with was people's preferences. First, did they like it? Did they not like it? Had they used any kind of navigation device like the Easy Access device before? And then we asked them to rate what was most important to them in terms of access to the content. And far and away, folks wanted access to the in-flight information, which is basically telling you, you know, where you came from, where you're going, where, if you're connecting, where that your gate is, so you don't have to rely on someone else to do that, how fast the plane is going, how high you are at any given time, how cold it is outside. This is a lot of information that people who are sighted have access to now. So that's what the most people wanted that. Then they wanted access to the movies via description. And then they wanted access to music. And last of all, they wanted access to the TV programs that were running on the in-flight system. And we think that has to do with the fact that people are not in a habit of watching a lot of TV now with description. So they figured, well, you know, is there really going to be description on this programming, or am I just going to be watching programming that's not totally inaccessible, that's not totally accessible to me? So we've just come to the end of that. Panasonic is actually working to integrate some of these access features, along with captioning for people who are deaf or hard of hearing, into their not only how you will navigate through the system, but into the content that is going to appear on them. So that's an interesting project and what we did at ACB. I'm going to talk a little bit about DBS Home Video. I know it's a much-loved effort that we recently had to end earlier this year because Hollywood Studios have ceased manufacturing VHS tape format. So what we're doing is we are working on several fronts. We are working to convince the studios to include the description track created for so many movies now through our motion picture access efforts. We are working and trying to encourage them to include that description track on DVDs that are sold in stores, that are sold on the internet, that are available via Netflix or Blockbuster to rent. It has a built-in navigation challenge because it's all about on-screen menus, unfortunately. So at the same time, we're trying to encourage them that once there's an FBI warning, whenever you put on a VHS tape or a DVD, that you can't do anything until they force you to watch that FBI warning. So we've described the FBI warning. We read it. And then we are encouraging studios to make a shortcut. Say one enter on your remote control that would get you to the description track for all DVDs. So that's what we're advocating. One studio in particular has stood out in terms of their commitment to enabling the DVS track to migrate onto DVDs, and that's Universal. This past Tuesday, they released their latest DVD with the description track on the mainstream release for Incredible Hulk. And as soon as it went into stores, I started getting comments from consumers that they're really happy to see this. And some consumers even know some of our narrators by name. And there's one particular narrator that's very popular in the community named Miles Neff. Yeah, so... Yes. This consumer wrote that he's never heard Miles Neff so excited. Thank you so much. So that was really good to see. So they have Universal has already a number of DVDs, and we're tracking them on our website, so you can find out those titles, as well as many, many PBS programs that are not now on DVD that have description on them as well. And we will continue to list them, and we'll continue to encourage the studios. And we would encourage all of you, basically, you guys are out here in the backyard, many of you in this area, in the backyards of the studio. So it would be great to, perhaps I can work with Mitch and Donna a little bit to try to get some advocacy. So I think if the studios heard directly from consumers who would be impacted favorably if they were included the description track, I think that might help us move things along a little bit.
They call that the back lot.
The back lot, right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to speak briefly. Is there a question already? Oh, a couple.
I'll go into the store or go to Amazon.com and order The Incredible Hulk. Can I assume that that track will be on it, or do I have to ask specifically, I want the one with the scripted video, and the clerk will say, huh?
I know for...
There won't be any place on
good that. Question. Good question. I don't think Amazon is yet listing this feature. The description symbol is on the back of the DVD, so you might need some sighted assistance if you're at a store. But I went and rented The Incredible Hulk, the single disc version. I think they have a 3-disc version with a lot of other bonus features and things. I have not had a chance yet because I've been out here to rent that version. But the single disc version, I put it in my DVD player, I pressed languages, and there is the descriptive video track is in the languages. So it's on every single disc version of The Incredible Hulk.
What is that symbol?
It's the letter D with sound waves, sort of three, looks like parentheses coming off of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it should say descriptive video service.
Okay.
Is that on the TV as well? Because you see TV 14 and then CC for closed caption. But a lot of times I have not seen that when a show goes on. That's why I'm curious.
Right. I think that for a while, I know it's on PBS programs. I think for a while it was on Simpsons, and I think it still is on The Simpsons. I do not know about CBS.
It isn't.
It's not. Okay. Yeah, it would be good. Unfortunately, right now, description is something that you need to know about to know about, and that is really, really a barrier to its growth. So CBS does have information about the shows that are described on their website, and we have information about those shows as well, but there is not a visible symbol, and that would be great. Albert, you had a question?
Yes. So basically, it should. That's the first. Is that the only movie, The Incredible Hulk, to have the
no.
description? There are some other ones.
Yes, there are some other ones. Let me see if I can pull up my website. Ray, yes, Ray. Knocked Up, which is a very funny movie. Now, you have to remember, keep in the back of your head, when you see these films that are coming to DVDs, some of these kind of raunchier kind of films, they're hysterical, but they are kind of raunchy. Some of them have unrated versions and rated versions. So just imagine that it's the version that people saw in theaters, which is basically the rated version, and that's the one you want to get, because the studios aren't yet paying us to add the raunchy description elements. And if that makes you all more willing to advocate, then you can go right ahead and say that you want to have access to that. Playboy, right.
I would like to put the description on everything.
It's true. That's absolutely true. It should happen. And Roger, we have gotten many, many requests over the years for adult videos. We tended to call the adult DVS videos children's version, children's videos like Disney, and then the adult versions. And then we sort of started to get into an area that where we have union members. I don't know whether what they would go for the description of pornography, but you never know. And it's true, the audience should have access to everything. We might have people who actually enjoyed working on that, but we digress.
What you need to do is hire somebody like John Cleese.
Yes. Yes, that would be really good. That would be good.
And he would have no problem with the porn dress.
Sure, he would not. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll just write this down.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you still have all the cassettes? You can purchase the list of them?
Unfortunately, we do not. We stopped. The way it worked was we had a contract with any given studio that distributed the movie to have a certain number of copies made. And so a year or so ago, we began stopping the distribution or the copying of those, or I'm blanking on the word, duplication, because we knew the program was winding down, unfortunately. So we do have a limited number of videos that were shipped back to our office from the fulfillment house, and I am looking for a good home for some of them. They might not be the most popular titles ever, but I'm happy to. I have my cards here, and a lot of you know how to reach me. I actually might post a note on the CCB list. That's what I'll do. for people who are interested to see the list of titles that we have. We also sent.
You know about Blue Rose Video?
Yes, they've purchased a lot of our videos, and we donated a good number of the ones that came back to it from. Yeah, Jackie Brand is wonderful. Her daughter is. It's a great program.
I think Jackie is now on the board of KQED.
Oh, wonderful! Oh, I'll have to check in with Jackie. And we just sent off 14 boxes of video to Pat Sheehan. Some of you may know Pat Sheehan. So he's going to make sure those get into the hands of recently blinded veterans in the D.C. area and at veterans' hospitals around the country. So we're happy to do that. Actually, his wife Jane is taking care of this because he's away for the week, and Jane is now carrying 14 boxes up their stairs. But I digress again. He's going to have to take her out to dinner, he said. So I'll speak briefly also about the description in theaters. How many of you have had a good experience going to theaters and getting the headphones and, okay, back row?
Okay.
Yes, okay.
I've never had a problem.
Oh.
To be there, I've never had any problem.
Okay, let's stop the topic right there. I'm going to move on to the next topic. the woman who just said that, what's your name?
Andrea.
Which theater do you go to?
I live in Orange County, and I go to, we have two. They're AMC, they're mm-hmm. one at the Block 30.
Oh, the Block, right.
That's the one I've been to, and I've seen probably, it's been a while. I've mm-hmm. seen probably six movies there.
Uh-huh.
The first one I ever saw was Ray. So fabulous.
Yeah, it was a nice one. Yeah, that's
okay. They've never had any problems.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm going to contact.
They know what they're doing. They know what you're asking for. They don't look at you like you're nuts.
I'm going to contact the general manager there and ask for his advice how to sort of replicate what he has figured out in other theaters.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Okay, and the woman next to Andrea had her hand up.
Kathy Vincent.
Oh, I recognize your name for the list.
Oh,
the Promenade at it's a National Amusements.
Yeah, National Amusements.
Yeah.
The bridge, something.
The bridge, right?
They advertised that they had. What's the one that came out last summer? Anyway, they said that they had a description for it, and
Indiana Jones.
No, the other big one.
Narnia?
Iron Man?
No.
The chick flick?
Narnia? No, it wasn't Narnia. In fact, I did.
Batman.
Batman.
Okay.
Batman. That's an easy one to remember.
It took us almost our whole session to remember what that movie was, Abby.
So many of us are so damn old.
But, I went there and then they said, no, that isn't true. We don't have that. And I said,
oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Your announcement. And they said, oh, no, we're trying to get rid of that. It was just make me happy, but I said, you don't have it. I bet you do. And she looked around and said, no, there's nothing. So
okay. That's another one I have to follow up with.
Woodland Hills, they took it out, I believe, but it was a great,
They took it out at Woodland Hills?
Promenade, they haven't had a described movie in months.
They may have switched over to a digital format, and we're working on the bridge between the digital format and MoPix.
But we have trouble with them. But also, I was wondering, is there any way we could somehow get it all standardized, and if we all were willing to purchase the headsets, so then we know.
I get that question a lot, actually.
Because if the headsets, that's not
because
the problem.
Because you battle with them.
Yeah, the assistive listening and yes, Bernice.
That's when 7 of us went to see Ray just before the 2005.
Right, convention, right.
And we got there, and that's what they brought out was the equipment for people with hearing impairments.
Right.
And then we said, no, this was the one. Then they went back, and they brought out and said, well, we only have 4.
Oh.
But we have a couple. They were supposed to have 10, is what they told me.
Right, right.
And they said, we only have 4. And they said, well, we have a couple others. They actually taped some together. So we go in, and we sit down in the theater, and we're sitting there through all of those 40 minutes of the trailers that are now at the
exactly movie.
And the movie starts and there's nothing, none of us are getting anything, and so it was interesting because somebody finally came and checked on us, and none of the batteries had
Oh, yeah, so they just left them on.
So we missed a good, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of the beginning of the movie, which really angered.
Yeah, because that sets up the movie. And we had the event at the ACB convention, which was great. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. It was a while ago. And it's available on DVD now. Yeah. I'm going to make a note about the headphones issue. That's probably going to be me dealing with the folks at each chain to find out who they hire to install the systems and whether they're infrared or FM, and then what frequency, because that's all important when you get the headphones.
We put out a thing called the BIRD, which stands for Blind Interest Research Directory, which doesn't, but it's irrelevant. But the point is that we try to list all of the entities that have description,
mm-hmm.
and which theater, which particular theater within the
auditorium, which auditorium
that you need to go to, and they seem to be switching those. It'll be six, and then when we update it, we check to be sure that it's still there. They say no, we're doing that in eight, and you know.
Yeah, they don't let me know either, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I can update our website.
What would it take? I'm sorry, I'm Dave Mapperite. What would it take to get this thing more universal? I mean, it sounds like we're operating on a very haphazard basis. In the state of California, which of course is very widespread, there's some in Orange County in L.A., there's some in San Francisco. There's 400 miles of territory between those two cities, and I think there may be one in that whole 400 miles.
Right.
We don't care about my city.
Yeah.
We don't care about dirty old geezers either, but
well, there are theater chains that have made a commitment to install the systems in all of their new theaters. AMC has done that, and National Amusements has done that. We are really on the verge of having a way for the system to work with digital cinema, which many theaters are switching to. And once the theaters switch to digital, the systems will actually be much cheaper to install, and I think then you're going to see more more description and more captioning.
How do we get the theaters to do that? I'm from the Inland Empire, so I'm in the Riverside area.
Mm-hmm.
Did they advertise it? This was the one theater that was an AMC. They opened up at the new Riverside Plaza. They advertised having closed captioning and audio described. I went to the theater at the grand opening, and they said, no, we don't have anything that's audio. It's only closed captioning.
Yeah, it's description as well. They don't know. The problem is that as some of you, it reflects the experiences in this room. Oftentimes, a theater general manager's commitment to these services, both for people who are deaf and people who are blind, that's the deciding factor in whether the systems actually work and the community actually embraces them. To have staff. The staff at theaters, as you probably know, constantly turn over. The people that we, when we go to movie theaters, come in contact with are the last hired people. So often you as consumers know more about a theater's features than the people that you're dealing with at the theater. I would strongly encourage you to give feedback to AMC's headquarters in Kansas City. We developed a theater manager guide all about these services, about the community, about the patrons, the various communication needs that patrons might have when they come in, the correct language to use, how to use the systems. I bet those theater guides, which go to all the theaters that have MOPIX installations, are not read. So it has to be part of the new training ritual that an employee goes through when they come to the theater.
If they could read, they'd have a better job.
Well, there you go, Roger. Any other questions about MOPIX before we move on? Because I do want to get to some of our other research projects that I think you're going to be interested in. Okay. Oh, I want to play some actual description now. We are working on a project, Access to On-Screen Information. So this is basically information during local newscasts. It could be weather information, school closings, etc. This is some of you who followed the description mandates when they were in place and then the overturning of them. Know that the National Federation of the Blind expressed their opinion that description of entertainment programming wasn't as important as access to on-screen graphics that were happening during news. So that was one of the reasons that they joined with the lobbying organizations for cable and broadcast television to oppose the mandates and to try to get them overturned. So we have a project, it's just been extended another year, to figure out a way to make on-screen information accessible to people who are blind or have low vision. So we've come up with a couple of clips of news in the Boston area, and it's basically proof of concept that this can be done. So I'm going to play one now, and it might feel like sensory overload, or it might not to you. I mean, it might feel like, oh, that's exactly what I would like to hear on the newscast in the morning. So you'll see it's actually the newscast, and then it dips a little bit, and you're going to hear some additional information.
Stunting coverage begins right now.
Good morning, I'm David Brown alongside Heather Unruh. And just look over the shoulder and you can clearly see that in Andover, at least, it's snowing to beat the
pants. Boston Electric reports widespread power outages in Cambridge and Watertown.
This morning.
Call 617-555-1212 for service updates.
First, though, let's get things started with the latest on the Storm Team 5 forecast for you. Meteorologist J.C. Monahan is up first. Good morning, J.C.
So that's an example of an emergency crawl at the bottom, and so forgive me, I didn't get a chance to check my volume level before I started. Here is another example. It will not blast your ears of additional information coming through.
Chaotic. Parts of Georgia and the Carolinas are dealing with this. This is ice.
North Middlesex Regional closed.
Themselves is forming.
Northborough Public. Now delay. No AM kindergarten.
Storm swept through the region. The blast.
Northbridge Public
rain.
Closed.
School stalled. Traffic.
Northern Essex Community College. Now delay.
Million customers.
Northern Public. 1 hour delay.
One death.
So that is with one additional stream of information coming through. Here's two additional streams of information coming through.
Uh-oh. Bringing you back to local news now. Up next, an unusual story, why a local thief took off with the ashes of a dead man.
Also this Friday morning, new constraints.
Range Republic, just in, 1 hour delay.
What's happening to the poll?
Brookline, New Hampshire, public, closed.
Talking on their cell phones.
Calvary Christian Dairy, closed.
Who are the worst offenders?
Central Catholic High, closed.
Look at the winning lottery numbers, which were drawn right.
The lottery drawn 12:15.
No, on Channel 5.
The numbers gave 1357.
Yep, went to public, closed.
So that seems to be more interesting to the groups that I play for than the school closing, who actually won the lottery. So I don't know what that's saying about this group. But
the only problem that I would see is that there's information being disseminated behind them, you know, and
exactly.
I'm trying to hear that, too.
Exactly. So
I
this would
know about the guy who ran.
Yeah, I
So that would be, the extra streams would be controllable by you. So, for instance, when I watch a local newscast, I see those school closings scrolling along all the way from A to Z, and then it starts again A to Z.
Yeah.
So you can turn on and off when you want to hear that extra stream of information.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah.
And you also could record if you play back after you tune.
Okay. Absolutely, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You do better at optimizing the synthesizer.
Yes, that synthesizer, that model was actually recorded about 2 years ago. We're aware that there's much better things now, and we probably will come up with a final prototype by the end of our project. So that's our access to on-screen information, because absolutely that information is important too, but it shouldn't be an either or, you know, either entertainment description or access to on-screen graphics. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Jerry Consler. This is probably a little distant and can't be reached, but on this issue of on-screen information, some of us are taken to older movies which may have a foreword.
Oh, right. Yep.
Or an afterword.
Yep, yep.
I can't tell you how many times I've sat in front of the TV going through a Clint Eastwood movie where he escapes from Alcatraz. And this message comes up at the end, and my family members agonize through it with me, but they always leave the room before they come to me.
Right, right.
And I would love to know what that says. Is there any chance that even just those parts or a newspaper headline somebody could do those and not bother with the rest of them.
Well,
that would enhance those so much.
You won't read out loud in this.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I think this brings me around to the Markey bill, which I think Roger brought up earlier. Representative Markey of Massachusetts has introduced something called the 21st Century... Telecommunications Accessibility Act, I believe it's called. Well, you all know what it is. Anyway, it's House Bill 6320, exactly.
Yeah, so, don't memorize that too much because it's going to change with the new Congress.
With the new Congress, right. Not only will that reinstitute the description mandates, as well as, I know it from my job dealing with consumers of the access features that we produce, that while the mandate to actually make the description happen in terms of the television broadcast and cable networks actually putting description on their program, I felt the more important piece of that legislation was that it required descriptions to move from where they were being broadcast all the way to the home correctly, through cable stations, through satellite stations, through
accessible set-top boxes.
So it that's really important. And this bill just goes so much further because it's saying whatever device we all access video or audio on in the future, whether it's a handheld device, anything, all of it has to be accessible. Not only does the content have to be accessible, but you have to be able to operate it. If you're blind or visually impaired, if you're deaf or hard of hearing, yeah, it would be wonderful. And I think, sir, the question that you brought up, I think once there was more acceptance, acknowledgement, and awareness of what people who are blind, visually impaired need in terms of a broadcast, perhaps not a full description, perhaps just the text on screen. Every once in a while, you'll see a subtitle, someone will speak in another language. That is not accessible, and that is a much cheaper way to make something accessible. Granted, it's not fully accessible through description, but even that, I think, would be appreciated by the community. So, Frank in the back, I wondered when he was going to raise his hand.
You may not have an answer to this. Mm-hmm. If you have any insight, I'd like to know. To me, the whole issue of mandating video description is a no-brainer. It's one of those right things to do. And yet, we have been fighting this battle for years now, and we cannot even get co-sponsors. So I'm wondering, who is really behind the opposition to this thing, and why? I don't think it's just because somebody is afraid of spending a few thousand dollars on a $5 million movie.
It's the liberal media.
No. something going on in the background that consumer level don't know about.
It's interesting. When we first mentioned the COAT, the Coalition of Organizations for Accessible Technology, AACB is a member nationally. Eric Bridges is very involved. AFB is a member. WGBH is a member. I would encourage folks to go to their website to learn a little bit more. These folks are very hooked in. Karen Peltz-Strauss and Jennifer Simpson. They're both former FCC employees. They know a lot about Washington. They know a lot about the organizations that may be in favor of this and may be opposed to it. So I would absolutely say to go to it's coataccess.org. From what we have heard, the organizations that went to court to overturn the description mandates, which was the National Association of Broadcasters, it's the lobbying organization for broadcast networks, and the National Cable Television Association, which is the lobbying organization for cable networks, and the Motion Picture Association of America, which has its hands both in broadcast and feature films, they linked up to oppose it and take it to court and overturn it back several years ago. What we have heard is none of them have come out publicly to oppose this bill. And until they do, we really don't know what the forces are behind the scenes. But we have been assured, sort of off the record, that they're not going to oppose this bill. So I'm not sure why we're seeing so few people sign on to co-sponsor this bill. It could be that we all feel like we have bigger fish to fry in this particular election season. But both Senator Obama and Senator McCain have come out in support of description and access. Senator McCain was the person who reintroduced the description mandates in the Senate several years ago after they had been overturned. And we understand that Senator Obama's senior disability advisor in Chicago is actually a person who's blind, and he's a fan of description. So I think the future bodes well, but I know that it has been very frustrating up to now, and it's hard to kind of keep going back in the well and finding the energy to keep advocating. I know that.
I have a problem, and it took me a month to straighten out Time Warner. The cable companies, I had to deal with them, where they didn't want to do anything about the frequency for CBS. I called CBS. They got my name. They got in touch with Time Warner. They admitted that the box, they didn't want to fix, you know, the problem. Then when they admitted it, it took them a while to fix the problem with their cable boxes. The people who came out, they said, well, there's something wrong with your TV. I said, no. And then one time when it was worked, they said, well, maybe we could fix the box so you wouldn't have to deal with this. This is a problem with cable, with the cable company sometimes. They don't want to carry that SAT channel, or they don't, not the SAT, but, you know, sometimes dealing with, you know, the DBS situation. And I finally got Time Warner locally to admit that they weren't doing their thing.
Yes.
It's just inadvertence.
Yes. It's a button that's not switched on. Yeah, exactly.
Right. It took CBS to get it. And I said, no. And they said, well, we're carrying it. And I said, well, Time Warner in Southern California isn't doing their job.
That's exactly true. That's part of what the bill would cover. So, as I said, not only the content being described, but it reaching you and the cable, your local cable operator being absolutely responsible and it would have to pay a fee if they did not do it correctly. And for many years, the FCC sort of was open to hearing complaints about captioning, which is mandated, but not what, once the description mandates were overturned, they really weren't all that encouraging about having consumers write to them or email them about description problems. Now they are. In the past year, they're saying they're welcoming feedback on description problems. So it's good for them to hear from people, and it's good for those complaints to build up, that they can then start enforcing a carriage of description, which they could do even without a mandate. And it brings me to, I'm sorry, your name is?
Andrea.
No, not Andrea, I'm sorry. I know your name. Andrea, the woman who just...
Mary Lou Baracco.
Mary Lou. Brings me to an issue about digital television and description. A lot of people are starting to convert over to digital televisions, and or they need a set-top converter box if you have an analog television. There's a lot of confusion, not only with consumers, but the salespeople at Best Buy and Circuit City and Walmart and Costco. A lot of confusion at the broadcast networks about carriage of access features in digital television streams. We have corralled a lot of information. White papers that we wrote about description service in DTV, all the FCC resources that we have. We tested some of these set-top converter boxes to see which ones passed through SAP and which ones didn't. And we've corralled all this information on one website called dtvaccess.org. And I would recommend that, and maybe I'll post that on the CCB list too. DTVaccess.org. And it basically breaks down the various types of consumers. Whether you have an analog TV with a set-top box, here's what you need to read. Whether you have a DTV and a cable digital box, here's what you need to read. Here are what the issues are. And there are then some troubleshooting tips. So I will definitely post that when I get back to the office. We have about 15 minutes left.
You can go to about 11:40.
11:40, okay.
Quick question.
Yes, Andrea, sorry.
That's okay. I actually have two questions. I assume that covers satellite as well, because I've had the same problem. I have DirecTV.
Yes.
They don't seem to carry the signal at all. They have the SAP on the TV, but it doesn't, you put it on, it doesn't do anything.
Well, Andrea, don't you know you have to select Spanish? That's what you have to select on DirecTV.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Programs that have description.
I thought you were kidding.
No, that's what I'm saying. How could you not know that, Andrea? How could you not know that it was disappearing? I just don't. I don't know. Now I'm starting not to. I'm starting to wonder about the CCB now.
You can spend it,
right? So these are the four groups that we broke them into: people who have analog TV with rabbit ears or rooftop antenna. The second group, analog TV with cable or satellite. Third group, digital TV with rabbit ears or a rooftop antenna. And group four, digital TV with a cable or satellite. So those are the four groups. We've talked through what the issues are with some of them, how to make it work. And then we did some troubleshooting for all of those groups after that on that website. So I think you'll find that really helpful.
I had one other question.
Oh, right, yes.
You mentioned content on PBS.org.
Yes.
Can you tell us just a tiny bit about, because I've never really gone to that website.
Right.
Just mention what that might include.
Yes. We are advocating really strongly internally at WGBH. Most of our programs that we produce for national broadcast are described. It's Nova, it's American Experience, it's Arthur, it's Mystery Masterpiece Theater and Mystery Masterpiece Classic. All those are described for broadcast. We want the description to make it on to the online versions that you can download for free. And many of those are accessible via description on, you would probably go to your local PBS station website. And then
KCET.
Yep, KCET if that's the case. KQED, I believe, up in Northern California. You would go through there, and there is both captioning and description available on the video. We also, GBH is branching out and making a lot of programs accessible on iTunes University for free. And recently they did the President series, which has been an acclaimed series on American Experience. It was Truman, Roosevelt, Clinton, Carter, the first Bush. Those were all Nixon and Ford. Those were all re-aired recently. They're actually in the process of re-airing a lot of those on broadcast TV. So the broadcast versions will all be described as well.
For the stations that don't have the equipment yet, like Channel 18 in Fresno, I don't think they've got the equipment yet to transmit it down to the public.
That might be the case where you want to watch it online. And those versions should be described because they don't have to have the same equipment to pass through. So I would try the online version for your local station. So we recently made all of this President series accessible via iTunes University, and we wanted very much for the descriptions to be there, but it ended up being quite a bit of money to reformat some of the episodes that had been produced many years ago. They sort of went through some updates of them. So it came down to having to choose one, and we chose the Roosevelt biography, which is quite moving and we thought would be most relevant to the community of people with disabilities. And so on iTunes University, the Roosevelt American Experience, I believe it's 3 hours, maybe more, is accessible via description. And it's quite something to sit and listen to it on an iPod or other MP3 device. I do that on the plane. They've done a beautiful job. The describers did a beautiful job, and we hope that's the first of many. We also are looking at WGBH making potentially the audio only, so the audio, there'd be no video, it'd be the audio from the program and also the description available. We call it like car movies, so you could listen to it in a car. It would maybe switch over or jump to the mainstream audience. So last year we did, GBH remade The Wind in the Willows, actually a co-production with the UK, and that is still available on the Masterpiece website as an audio only download. You can download that and you hear the description and the program audio at the same time. So
it probably doesn't require as much bandwidth.
Exactly. That's exactly true. Frank?
I just have a suggestion. Maybe you can put that on somebody's desk list at WGBH or somewhere at PBS. I have occasionally visited the PBS website. It's huge. It takes a long time to find stuff, especially with the screen reader. I don't know the extent to which they considered screen reader accessibility. Would it be possible for somebody somewhere to put up a described television webpage that would just link to the program so that we wouldn't have to go hunt through, you know, 300 episodes to know where to find the 15 that are described.
Guess what's debuting within the next 2 weeks, Frank? They're completely, GBH Interactive is completely redoing our WGBH website, and they, at our urging, are tagging the programs that are described. And so now you can not only, if you want to go through the main menu of all the programs, you can actually jump to a page that has just the described programs on it. And it may be, I don't know how that will translate to your local PBS station. It may mean that you need to go to WGBH.org and then sort of do a cross-reference in your head for a lot of the national programs on PBS air at the same time around the country, so that's good. So it could be that you're just sort of going to WGBH for your information about description and then going to your local program guide to confirm that it's at the same time. But yes, we're doing that. It used to be available on Yahoo TV, and I know the Washington Ear used to monitor all that. And I, as far as I know, the Washington Ear still does monitor description available anywhere on a daily and a weekly and a monthly basis. Washington Ear.
I just wish there was one site I could go to just to find description and not have to wait for anything else. I could just go there and find
Just go there and find description.
That's
right.
Right. Just
right.
Listen away.
Right. That would be great.
Have two, right?
That would be great.
International.org.
AP International?
AD, audio description.
Oh, audio. Yeah, right. ADI, ADInternational.org. That's a great site. Yeah, Fred Brack does a lot of volunteer work on that site.
You can find out things that have already been done by WGBH.
Exactly. We tend to be a little WGBH specific at WGBH, but there are other folks that are doing a very credible job describing out there. I'm not going to promote the heck out of them, but they do. They're doing a good job. And Audio Description International is a very neutral place to find a lot of information.
Joel Snyder.
I haven't exactly got the invitation down perfectly. But I do too. Another question? Did you have someone up back there have a question? Yes, Albert.
I might have missed something briefly. Did you talk about the description at Disneyland?
I was just going to talk about that, Albert. So
before you leave TV, I'm interested in description of soaps.
Soap operas?
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't need description.
I'll write that down. That's funny.
You know they're doing it, but you have to know who.
I have not heard that request before. I will take it back.
It came up yesterday too, but we have not checked out that the podcasts of the Guiding Light are described. But we haven't checked.
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting.
One of those car things like you're talking about.
Yeah.
One in particular that has a lot of, they'll play music and you can hear there's action, but you can't tell what's happening.
Right.
No.
Okay, Bernice.
Things like people are, you know, they're reliving something that happened.
Yes, oh yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Memories, yeah. Okay, so I'll take that back, Bernice, and Disneyland. We started working with Disney, the Disney theme parks, probably close to 8 years ago. They wanted to implement the rear window captioning for deaf and hard of hearing patrons in their parks. And they...
Yeah, rear window.
Rear window, right. Oh, right, okay. So, rear window in their parks, it's not called rear window in their parks, because if it was called rear window, we would have to pay Disney to install it in their parks, but they call it something different. And then they sort of realized that there's probably a lot they could be doing for patrons or visitors or whatever they call Disney cult people. Guests. You're right, exactly. Guests who are blind, visually impaired. So they contracted with us, and we sent a team of describers down to Disney World in Orlando to describe It's a Small World and Pirates of the Caribbean and the Haunted Mansion and all of that. And basically, they have come up with a single device. It's like a rugged access device, they call it, and it basically has the ability to display captions, display text or subtitles, translations in another language, and also via headsets that you plug into it, simultaneous translations in another audio language and description. So they have not announced this yet, but they've been quietly sort of rolling it out when blind patrons come to Disney World to ask them, bless you, to ask them, exactly, to ask them for their ideas and their feedback on it. And they have just contracted with us to do the same for the Anaheim theme parks. So we, yep, there's some Epcot as well. Yep, there's some Epcot attractions as well.
Are they both here, both Disney and California Adventure?
That's my assumption, yes, because they did both for captioning. And then they are also going to move along very early yet. We don't really want to say very much, but just do some degree of environmental description at the park. So it would orient you through
these
Main Street and the rest.
Agencies, right? Are they doing anything for the governmental agencies like Smithsonian Institute, that kind of thing, Washington, D.C., where they have the...
Yeah, they have a lot of accessible features at the Smithsonian. There's several of their auditoriums that are equipped with description. And for many years, the person who booked the movies at the Air and Space Museum had a blind daughter, and so he would only book the films that had been both captioned and described.
Yeah.
And so they've sort of instituted that as a policy there.
And especially
the park,
Mary, a neighbor of ours has a blind friend in Chicago who has... I understood him to say that he was the first one to try the system.
Ryan Dewar is his name. He is a uber technology user. Uber technology user. And Ryan, yes, and he also is one of these fanatic Disney people. You know these people that are like born with the Mickey Mouse blood flowing through them?
Yeah. So we took him to the theater to see a Disney-oriented thing, and we get a backstage tour.
Oh, yeah.
And he was looking for the hidden Mickey, and he found it.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
They have these hidden Mickeys in weird places, tiny things, and he found it, and he was taking pictures, and he had uploaded it right there from backstage, and it was all over the
show. Oh, that's great. Yes, he was actually the first to see it, and we're regularly in touch with him, so he called. He was very, very excited. Question in back of Bernice. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say...
You're familiar. What's your name?
It's Maria.
Maria. Okay.
Went to a state park in Nevada. I think it's called Red Rim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. But they had a nice little phone there that you could check all the...
Yeah, state parks are starting to have descriptive tracks.
It was appreciated.
That's good.
One quick note on the state parks and things like that. You do, the visually impaired or blind, under legal blindness, you can get free status, free access cars to all national parks.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I went to Alaska.
Next time I drive up there.
And I was issued one there in Alaska.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
They used to give out the free membership cards at the President's Committee.
It's basically the same status as war veterans that are prisoners of war have had the same status.
We got those things. Oh, and I realize this is probably not something most people are going to be interested in, but it was interesting for all that. If they're distillery in Scotland where they're making all that nice Scotch whiskey.
Hi.
Yeah, they had that there too.
Why don't you bring some for the group, Maria?
I'm so sorry.
You shouldn't talk about it unless you have it for everyone, just like you learn in kindergarten.
Yes, Smithsonian,
yes.
When you have the one, all that says the Hope Diamond, and then, they'll see that, what you see, but they don't really get into scribes.
They won't let you touch it,
they'll just say what's in the flash.
What a perfect segue to what I'm going to do next. We were hired by VSA Arts of Florida to describe a traveling art exhibition by VSA Arts students. And I'm going to play with you now a description of one of the paintings. And the entire art show, all the description is still available online. And I'll post a note to the CCB. I'll place one note to CCB list with a bunch of the different links I talked about here today. But this is really interesting, and we'd like to see a lot more description description happening for museums. We're currently working with the Whitney Museum in New York to make the Calder exhibit there accessible via description and captioning on some kind of handheld device. The Whitney Museum is really starting to be at the forefront of trying to make all of their exhibits accessible to people with disabilities. So let me play this for you. I know some of you may have to go. We're at... what time is it? 11:30 exactly. And before I play this, I want to just get the medicine down. Some of you may be interested in. We're working with the science postgraduate science students and scientists, professional scientists who are blind or visually impaired, to sort of redo or re-emphasize or reprioritize how descriptions of science content, graphs, images appear in digital talking books, in science-related digital talking books. Okay. If any of you want to stay after this description of this painting, I can play you an example of that. It's really interesting to hear how description has been prepared for many years versus how people think it should be prepared. Very different, much cleaner, and more descriptive in a way that is more useful to people.
In an art institute, I'll tell you what. I was privileged to somewhat get on the ground level. There was an art institute in Cleveland, Ohio, and they would say Boulder Blue. And I said, no one knows Boulder Blue. I said, Boulder Blue, maybe in a dark cup blue. And it's, or light blue. You have to tell them, you know, when they say a Boulder Blue or certain things, get it in the medium so they understand. Because no one knows periwinkle or different
right.
colors like that.
Some context has to be... Some yeah, it's different. People have different preferences. So
step one.
Here it is.
Woman with messy hair was created in 2001 by Jorge Hernandez, a 10th grade student at Barbara Goldman Senior High School in Miami, Florida. The medium is an Indian ink washout technique. The work measures 32 inches high by 23 inches wide. A young woman with green eyes stands sideways, staring intently out over her right shoulder, her gaze fixed on something in the distance. Her unsmiling lips are parted and her arms crossed. Two long yellow feathers dangle from a round clip in her disheveled red hair, which juts out from her head in floppy clumps. The right sleeve of her tattered yellow blouse appears torn, baring her shoulder. A large white circle set into a plain gray background, resembling a full moon in the twilight sky, frames her head. Inky streaks and smudges cover the entire canvas, marring the woman as well as the world around her.
Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall. Merry Christmas!
Oh, I don't know what the heck that was about. Sorry.
About the technique. Some people may not understand what that technique, ink wash or whatever.
Yes, and I know nothing about it.
Ink wash.
And this kid was paid for this?
No, VSA Arts did. They got a grant to pay for the description of the entire...
To pay for the artwork?
I mean, yeah.
It's a very good piece of artwork.
Yeah, it was, it's actually kind of interesting. And, you know, it's great these students had a venue for their work. You know, it's really great. I know he's kidding.
You can't tell the quality of a visual arts work.
Right, it's true.
I imagine describing it to a deaf person...
Right, exactly. Does anybody want to hear a short clip of the science that I told you? Okay. All right, so I'm going to play a clip that has the version of description as it would have been created or would be up until the time we worked with other national organizations, AFB, we worked with Joel, to come up with a sort of a different way to describe science programming. So it lasts about 2 minutes. I'm not particularly interested in science, and I don't want to force this on you, but you might learn a little bit. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I don't know. You be the judge. So it is about 2 minutes long. You're going to hear, first you're going to hear the version as it would have been created, and next you're going to hear, and then you're going to hear, they'll say, this is the new version. So it'll be clearly delineated.
Good. Good.
current description practice. The figure is a multiple line graph. The horizontal axis is labeled retention interval in seconds, beginning with zero at the origin to a maximum of 60 seconds on the right in increments of 20 seconds. The vertical axis is labeled percentage correct and runs from 40% at the origin up to 100% at the top in increments of 10%. There are four curves on this graph, all roughly parallel to one another. The bottom curve is labeled 1 second sample. It begins at 0 seconds retention interval at a percentage correct of approximately 80%, falls rapidly down to the right until a retention interval of 20 seconds and 58% correct, and then decreases more slowly with additional points at 40 seconds and 55% correct, and finally 60 seconds and approximately 52% correct. The second curve is labeled 4 second sample. It begins at 0 seconds retention interval and a value of 90% correct. It too falls rapidly down to the right with values of 20 seconds and 68% correct, 40 seconds and 62% correct, and finally 60 seconds and approximately 58% correct. The third curve is labeled 8 second sample. It begins at 0 seconds and approximately 97% correct. It drops to 20 seconds and 72% correct, 40 seconds and 66% correct, and terminates at a retention level of 60 seconds and 62% correct. The top curve is labeled 14-second sample. Its values are 0 seconds and 100% correct, 20 seconds and 75% correct, 40 seconds and 70% correct, and 60 seconds and 65% correct. Preferred DTB descriptive practice. The figure is a multiple line graph. The horizontal axis is labeled retention interval in seconds. It begins at 0 and ends at 60 seconds in increments of 20 seconds. The vertical axis is labeled percentage correct. It begins at 40% and ends at 100% in increments of 10%. There are four curves on this graph, all roughly parallel to one another and all descending. The data is represented in the following accessible table. Current DTB descriptive practice. The figure is a Venn diagram and shows two intersecting circles inside a large rectangle. The circles do not touch the rectangle. The circle on the left is labeled Africa, and the number 93 is under Africa and above the circle. The circle on the right is labeled Asia, and the number 155 is under Asia and above the circle. The intersection of the two circles is shaded and has the number 70 in the shaded region. Preferred DTB descriptive practice. The Venn diagram shows two intersecting circles, one labeled Africa 93, the other labeled Asia 155. The area of intersection is labeled 70.
Stop one. Woman with...
I want to hear it again. Okay. See, so
you... One thing you may need is that some graphs have colors, and you need to say the colors in the beginning, what they represent, and on the lines, when you're explaining that, sometimes the colors may mean something with the graph, like, well, if this color represents this, do they intersect, then that means they're equal or whatever.
The recommendations and the guidelines for providing description in digital talking books are actually going to be published soon, and I think they'll also want feedback from the community. The described and captioned media program, which is funded by the Department of Education, is going to have them up on a website, and I will make sure I put that website in my list of links so you can comment on those. Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir.
I got the feeling that you're awfully alone. Are there other people out there beating the Huskins like you?
Beating the Huskins?
Huskins.
Huskins. I have never heard that term.
Yeah. Huskins.
Oh, husky. Huskies, like the dogs?
H-U-S-T-I-N-G-S.
Hustings. What does that mean?
Beating the stump.
Being on the stump, yeah. I'm the only person who does outreach for our organization, although all of the project directors and employees are actually doing it, but I'm probably the most visible one, and I get the honor of representing a lot of people's very hard work to the community that we want to reach. Yeah. So thank you very much. Thanks again to Bernice. Thank you for inviting me.
For taking time to come and be with us today. I knew she'd have a lot of good information for us. Listen, we have one other speaker, Ken?
Yes.
Okay. Yesterday on the main program, there was a very short presentation by a gentleman named Max I'm blanking on his last name.
Flanger.
Okay. And he was talking about a form of, if I have it right, it's a form of radio reading service on the internet. And so we asked Ken to come and tell us a little more about it. Let's have more of an opportunity for people to ask questions.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I have my business cards, and they're brailled if anybody wants one. Email me, and I'll put it on. I'll put you on. Anybody else want a business card?
Good morning, everyone. It's almost afternoon, almost lunchtime, so I'm only going to take a few minutes. But I wanted to explain AIRS LA. It is an internet radio reading service. It would be www.airsla.org. This is a radio station that started about a year or so ago. I just got involved in it recently. I went to a meeting and they said, you know, we'd like to have you on our board. We have a board meeting coming up. Would you come and visit? And I said yes. And 2 days later, I went to the board meeting and they voted me in. So I guess I was it. But what happens with the AIRS LA radio service, it's the audio internet reading service of Los Angeles. And you can listen to it in several ways. One is through a computer, if any of you are using computers. I'm sure some of you are. Are there any of you who do not use computers in here?
Yes.
Okay. There are a couple of ways that you, too, can use that type of a radio station and or other things that the internet has to offer. One is through what is called an internet radio. They are not necessarily the least expensive radios. You're not going to go get one for $1.98 on the corner. But one organization that sells them, or one place, is Sea Crane, and I'm not giving that as a commercial. I just know they happen to carry them. It's Sea Crane, and their number is 1-800, I think it's 88-TUNE, T-U-N-E, which is...
And,
I'm sorry? I'll have to think of their number. I'll give it to you. It's 800-522-TUNE. That's it. 800-522-8863. Now, you do have to have an internet connection, and you can have an internet connection without necessarily going online. There are ways to do that with DSL or cable. It all depends if you want to spend that type of a monthly fee for, you know, to listen to that internet radio.
I can listen to basic radio even though I have a dial-up, and
you can. It's just that sometimes it lags more behind, but you can do it. You can use a dial-up service as well, and that would be a lot less expensive. As a matter of fact, probably in the neighborhood of $9.95 a month would be the least expensive for something like that these days. The other thing you can do is get involved in something called NetEcho, N-E-T-E-C-H-O. NetEcho gives you the opportunity to listen to all the internet stuff by using a telephone. So that is another option. And using the phone, you'd also be able to read what's on the station. What they have on the AIRS LA station are such things as, in your case, in my case too, because I'm there, as seniors, we might have our grandkids over, and yes, I do have five of them, so we can have grandkids over, and maybe we want them to listen to stories. There are some children's things that are on there. There are stories from different magazines. There are various types of... what's the word I'm looking for? Of broadcasts of old-time radio, of as I said, some of the magazines. I believe the Oprah magazine is one that's on there. They also have all kinds of sites that you can go to that talk about different types of vision loss. So it covers all kinds of things from history to science to adaptive equipment to special programming. You heard them talk about cooking in the dark. Now, that's also on ACB radio, by the way. I just want you to know that because because I still go for acbradio.org first, that because that's ours. But they do link to it. So they also will do different podcasts of Cooking in the Dark. So they have several online there where you can go and you get different recipes and things. Like you said yesterday, it takes about an hour. But that's because they're actually cooking and doing it and kidding around and joking, but also giving you the recipe as they cook. They're actually, it's a guy named Dale Campbell, and I can't remember Cheryl's last name. She goes by the handle or nickname of Cheryl Tomato. Now, whether she is or not, I can't answer that. Well, that too. And I won't go there either because I could get in trouble. And a grape. You can download.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, that's something that you'd have to do by learning, you know, to use certain things on a computer. But there are downloadable areas there that you can download some of the reading and then listen to it later if you'd like. But that would be stuff that you would have to learn in computer classes or from other people that are willing to assist or something like that. Because, I mean, I could tell you, but it would take a whole long time, and you really need to have some knowledge.
Is there something streaming all the time? Do you order something that you want streaming?
You can go into different areas, such as, let's say, senior programs or children's programs, and you have choices. You can go into several different areas and listen to the one you want, so you can choose what you want to listen to. It isn't something that where they're reading, and if you go in there, you get in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So actually, whatever time you get into this AIRS LA programming, you end up listening to a full broadcast or podcast of the subject matter that you're choosing.
Can you even order it with a radio?
With the internet radio?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Are those internet radios acceptable?
I'm sorry, are they?
Acceptable.
Some are. And you need to contact. There are some where you can press the buttons for the different channels that you want, and they have numbers. So you would have to actually. C-Crane, I'll give them a plug because. The guy that started it many years back, and I think it was in the 80s, his name is Bob Crane. Not the one that was Hogan's Heroes, because he's dead. I hope it's not the same one. And I honestly believe that he is partially sighted. And I say that not knowing for certain, but a lot of the things he does and has done from the beginning, he made cassettes for blind folks to be able to use. He had cassette catalogs, as a matter of fact. And that was well before ADA said certain things should be in accessible format, and that doesn't apply to businesses per se in that respect, but he has done that. So that's what makes me think so. And I talked to him. He had a couple of things when he started out. I think one was called a select antenna,
yeah.
and I have one of those, and it was a thing to get radio stations in better, and AM radios and stuff, but he's really gone and explored so many other areas in electronics now in regards to different types of flashlights, different types of radios, different types of antennas, and they have a very full business that they do. But the reason I'm saying to call them is because they are in tune with a lot of things that blind folks need, and they're very good at explaining it, at least when I've called them. And someone asked me this morning, can you listen around the house to AIRS LA? Well, if you have either a computer or you have an internet radio and you're using that and listening to programs, you can also get something that's called a small transmitter. You can hook the transmitter up through your earphone jack, you tune it to a certain clear frequency, and on FM you can actually have a radio in different parts of the house so that you can hear it in different areas. It's hard to find a clear frequency either in LA or San Francisco area or San Jose, maybe Visalia or Porterville. You actually sometimes around the 88 or 8900 band on FM, you can get a clear, almost a clear enough frequency. And if the transmitter is good enough, it will outdo what else, whatever else is on there, as long as it isn't really blasting in.
Okay. You can probably use a wireless headphones or a wireless speaker the same way.
Yeah, you could. Now, those, as far as I know, most of them are still at 900 hertz, aren't they? Do they have some better ones now?
They have ones that we used for audio listening, assistive listening devices at our chapter meeting that use the regular FM band.
Oh, okay. Okay. I know the ones that I've looked at in the stores when I wanted to buy some wireless headphones and speakers were at like the 900 hertz. So, and so yeah, Joel's right. There are things you can do, you know. So, you know, there are various ways that you can make this work for you, but I'm just saying that the quality of the readers on that station are wonderful. I just think one of the best things, if any of you or most of you would like to at least try it, is go into the website and see what they have that's going to be of your interest. And, you know, if you don't find something that meets your interest, all you need to do is contact them at info is the email, info@airsla.org, info@airsla.org, and give them a suggestion of the things that you would like to hear. They're constantly trying to expand the types of material that they have available, but they want to expand it based on what the individuals would like. They want to make sure that they're not going to put something up there that no one's going to listen to. So they're new enough, and they are concerned enough to make sure that the content is going to meet the needs of who of the listenership.
Did they split off from LARS?
They did. Initially, AIRSLA was part of the Los Angeles Radio Reading Service, LARS, with Jolie Mason. And, you know, whatever went on there, I have no idea because that's sort of politics sometimes. And I haven't asked any questions. I don't know anything about politics. That's why I'm in this organization. I'm sure there was a reason for a split, but I can't answer. I will tell you, though, that the readers that they have on AIRSLA are fabulous. They actually have readers who do these podcasts and read all the material, even from their homes. We have people who are volunteer readers in Florida. We have people in Ohio, Wisconsin, and other things because they use the Internet. So we're not limited to the types locations that folks can read from. They do get tested first to make sure that their reading capability is really top notch. And they also really make sure that the quality of the voice is good. They have a few folks on involved there that are actually maybe not actors or actresses that we know per se, but they are in the acting field. And that makes a big difference when you're reading something. As Max mentioned yesterday, they're not doing newspapers because you can get that down here in L.A. through the Braille Institute Newsline, and I guess you have that up north also, Roger? So there is availability, as well as up in down here we have LARRS, as I said, L.A. Radio Reading Service. The LA Radio Reading Service is only limited to like 800 people because of the area they cover, although now they are also on the Internet. It's a subcarrier, but they're also on the Internet, though. You can't actually listen that way. So, in essence, I just want to, you know, ask you all to take a listen to AIRSLA and see what the quality is. Give them some information, or you can send it to myself or even Roger or Bernice, because they became advisory committee members, I think, without even knowing it.
That's
probably true, yeah. Dr. Bill Takeshita from the Center for the Partially Sighted got Roger and Bernice put in there. And anyway, it's a. They really, as I say, they have some good material. Grocery store ads every week. Those, you know, those are important. I do listen to those because I love to shop. So they get me in trouble. Them and QVC get me in trouble.
Yeah.
do they have on the grocery ads? Do they have what is it? Raley's, Filler, Nobule?
They won't because no. That doesn't mean you can't ask for it. But those are up north. They don't have those down here. No.
They have them out of state.
No, we don't have. The only Raley's down here, actually, it's Raley's, I think, and that's the hamburger joint. But no Raley's, no Snob, Knob Hill, and Bel Air, no. They're not down in this area.
What was the sense that you and Bernice talked about organizing the QVC Anonymous?
Yes!
Well, we'll talk about that because I
need to join it.
I actually have some ideas for with QVC and CCB and maybe ACB. So we'll see what might happen. But anyway, any more questions on Airs LA? Okay, take a listen. See what you like. You can even, as I say, you can email any of us. The office has our email addresses because I don't know if you'll remember all the ones I've given. And happy listening.